Thank you so much for visiting us online today. We believe God wants to speak to you through the following message. If you would like to connect with us or send us your prayer request, visit us at kingsgatehobbs.com.
You may be seated. If you look up here on the screen, I'll be sharing. The reason I want to be down here because I don't want to preach. I want to explain things to you because this is the greatest year of your life. You have to believe that. And how do we know that? How can you say that, Pastor? Well, I'm going to explain that. But if you look up here on the screen, this is the year of miracles. Would you lift your right hand and say, this is the year of miracles? And for the other ministry, I've started this, the miracle of provision. So God is a God of miracles. If you need healing, he'll heal you. You say, well, how do we know that? Well, he said that, and he can't lie. And besides that, we need other miracles. Some people say, well, I'm healthy. I'm not sick, but I'm having a lot of problems with other areas of my life. Well, God is a God of miracles. And one of the biggest concerns that people have outside of a healing, and we're going to give you a scripture for that in a few moments, is that about money. Said, Pastor, I have more bills at the end of the month than I have money. Well, this is the year God's going to take care of that. And you don't have to worry about it. You say, well, I'm on fixed income. Well, God's not. God's not on fixed income. And it doesn't matter if you're getting a certain check. God can do miracles for your life. He'll open up the heavens for you. The only thing you have to do is just believe. And I'm going to just give you some steps this morning to help you and explain to you because it's real simple. And it's so simple that a child can understand it. So this month is the miracle. It's the miracles of provision. Somebody say the miracles of provision. So we see that throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that God provides for people. And sometimes we need a miracle, especially in that area. You say, man, I need a miracle. Man, I owe $500,000 or $400,000. I owe $300,000. I don't know how I'm going to pay that. But God will give you a miracle one day, praise the Lord. And what's so wonderful about the Word and what God has provided, especially in that area, is that you can believe for a debt-free life. You say, debt-free? I never heard of that. Well, it's in the Bible. God, that's one of the blessings of walking in the covenant of God, that you can live a debt-free life. Can you imagine here in the near future, you get up in the morning, you owe nobody anything. Praise God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, God will do that for you. And we can believe for everything that God has provided. Now, if God has not provided that, then we can't believe for that. Everybody understand that? But if God has made it clear in the Word, well, God cannot lie. You can believe God for whatever problem you have if you have the Word for it. Praise God. So this morning, it's important because a lot of people are sick. So we have a healing scripture for the other ministry for every month. And we repeat that scripture throughout the month so that you can get it down deep inside of you. Get it into your heart. So some people hear it one time, they'll forget it. But if you hear it over and over, you'll say, that is mine. I'm going to believe God for that. Praise God. So God is a healer. Somebody say, God is a healer. So in 3 John, there's only one chapter, 3 John, not St. John, but or the Gospel of John, but 3 John 1:2 says this. And if you look at it real carefully, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Somebody say prosper. In how many things? In all things. He says that you may prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. So let's say that out loud with me, please. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Praise God. So if we look at that scripture, we know that God wants to prosper his people. It would be absurd to believe differently or contrary to that, because God is rich. You say, oh, how rich is he? Well, your mind couldn't wrap around even around his creation. God is so rich, and we are his children. So it wouldn't make sense. Would you have your child eaten out of a dumpster? No. Would you want your children not to have their needs met? Well, that would be crazy, right? But and God, we're his children. We are now children of God. And God wants us to prosper in all things, all right? So if you need to get a hold of this morning so that your thinking can change. But not only that you may prosper in all things, but also be in health. He didn't say healing, health. If you're in health, then you don't need healing. I'm 76, and I've lived in health for the last 50 years. You said, well, is that possible? It is possible. God said it. So, and I've been in a lot of situations, and here I am 76, and I feel, a lot of times I feel like 30. You said, man, how? Well, if you're healthy, right? So God wants you to be in health just as your soul prospers. So when we read that, your health and your prosperity is contingent. Everybody understand that? It's contingent upon the condition of your soul. So if your soul prospers, you're going to prosper in every area of your life. Everybody understand that? So what is your soul? Well, a lot of people don't even know that. They have to go to some of our trainings. You understand that? God has made us in his image, Genesis 1:26, and in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says that we are a spirit. Somebody say we are a spirit, and we possess a soul, and we live in a body. So most people, the only thing they know is I have a body. That's it. You look at it. But we are a spirit. We were made in the image of God. And we possess a soul. So spirit is not soul, and soul is not your spirit. They're two different things, all right? But they're part of your makeup. We are a triune person, spirit, soul, and body. Say that with me, spirit, soul, and body. And our soul, which is not our spirit, consists of these three. Your thinking. It is your emotions. And it is your will. In other words, I'll simplify it for you. It's your thinking, feeling, and choosing. All right? So your soul, nobody can do that for you, not even God. God can't think for you. He said, I wish somebody would think for me. Well, nobody can. And nobody can feel for you, and surely nobody's going to choose for you. You do your own choosing. So a lot of people blame God for a lot of things. They say, well, God, I don't know why this happened. Well, it's not God, it's you. You chose. But so we have to renew our soul. And the condition of your soul will take care of your prosperity and your health. Does everybody understand that? Or your prosperity and your health depends on the condition of your soul. So if your soul prospers, guess what? You're going to prosper, and you're going to be healthy. So lift your hand and say, this is going to be the best year of my life. It is. Praise God. It will be the best year of your life, and you got to believe that, all right? And I'm going to explain that while we say that. So this morning, since we're talking about the provision, the miracle of provision, a lot of people need that, especially in the economy that we have in the world. It's very volatile. It's like this, up. And it goes down, up, and then it goes down. And then people buy, they lose their houses. They buy cars, they lose them. Prosperity, one day they're in poverty. All right? But that should not be your life. You say, well, we live in this world, yeah? Well, Jesus in John chapter 17 said about you this. You are in the world. But we're not of the world. Say this with me. I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. You're not, if you're a believer, you're not part of the world unless you want it to be. See, if you're listening to all that junk, it's going to affect you, and then you're part of that world. You see, and a lot of people are part of that. I'm talking about believers, because they've decided to be part of that world. But we're not part of that world, so we are exempt from that, and it has really no effect on us if you'll stay in the Word of God. Does everybody understand that? So this morning, we're going to lay a foundation for you. And we're going to start off with number one, true faith, Bible faith. When we talk about faith, now we're talking about God. We're not talking about faith in government, faith in this, and no, it's not the same. We're talking about faith in God. When we talk about Bible faith, and we're talking about what the Word says when we talk about Bible faith. So faith is simply this, repeating what God has said and believing it. Somebody say repeating. That's all faith is that you will repeat what God has said and then just believe it. For instance, some people say, how can you say that this will be the best year for me? Well, he said it. God said it. And if God said anything, I just repeat it. And some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you can argue with him. Right? But God, when he says something, we just repeat it and believe it. And if somebody doesn't agree with you, well, that's on them. But whatever God says, it's true. It cannot be changed. It cannot be nullified. It cannot be canceled in any way, because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Does everybody understand that? So the word stands forever. So true faith is just simply repeating. That's all you have to do. Repeat what God has said and believe it. So when we say by his stripes, is another example. By his stripes we are healed, 1 Peter 2:24. We say that. And people say, well, how do you know that you're going to be healed? Well, he said it. And if he said it, well, I'm just going to repeat what he said. By his stripes, I am healed. So lift your head and say, by his stripes, I am healed. Say it again. By his stripes, I am healed. And then when we say, I will not die before my time. How can you say that, Pastor? That we will not die before our time. No, you're going to live a long life if you'll believe it and say it. You say, well, who said it? Well, God said it. He said in Psalms 91, 16, he said, I will satisfy you with long life. Amen. So if you want that, you have to repeat it and you have to believe it. Can you say amen? And you say, well, I don't believe it yet. Well, repeat it until you do. Can you say amen? And whatever you say over and over, you'll get to the place where you believe it. But you have to say it. I will not die before my time. And I'm saying this because a lot of people are dying. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Man, there's a big problem in the world today. I mean, people don't live 70. But 30, they can't even move. 40, man, I want to retire. Retire at 40? No. People are not like they used to be. So we're going to live a long life. And you say, well, who said it? Well, God said it. Can you say amen? So in Mark 11, 23, in reference to that, you see, repeating, that's all you have to do. Repeat what God says and believe it. Jesus said this, talking about faith. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says, oh, there it is. Jesus is talking about how faith works. He said, whoever says to the mountain, who's going to talk to the mountain? You are, not God. He said, I got a big problem. God, do something about it. He said, no, for you believers, I already gave you authority. You better speak to the mountain yourself. And if you don't speak to the mountain, that mountain's not going to move, which is your problem, right? And then he says, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart, but believes, now watch this, but believes the things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. So Jesus explained faith this way. It is a combination of you believing with what? With your heart. When we talk about the heart, we're talking about the inward man. You got to believe here and say it with your mouth. And unless we have that combination, then you don't have Bible faith. And things in your life will never change. Some people say, yeah, I believe it right here that I'm going to prosper. Yeah, but if you don't open your mouth, I was going to say your big mouth. If you don't open your big mouth, it's not going to work. Can you say amen? People have a big mouth for a lot of other things, but they don't have it for God. You got to open your mouth and begin to say these things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Said, I will live and not die. By his stripes I'm healed. Praise God. I will prosper. This will be the best year for my family and for myself. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a great praise offering for that, because it's going to be. Praise God. So that was number one. I'm laying a foundation here now for the miracles of provision. God's going to provide for you this year in a supernatural way, because he's a God of miracles. All right? So number two, God will confirm what we preach or teach, or what you say. If you say nothing, he can't confirm nothing. If we teach in a church nothing, then he can't confirm nothing. If we just have one doctrine, like the church I used to belong to, they had one doctrine. Well, that's all God's going to confirm, because he's not going to confirm anything else that you teach or preach. So in Mark 16, Jesus said this. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, that's after the resurrection, he was received up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and doing what? And confirming. Somebody say confirming. Confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So God he's listening to you. And whatever you say, he will confirm that. So whatever we say, this is going to be the best year of my life. How can you say that? Well, he said it. We go from glory to glory. So if we go to glory to glory, this year is going to be better than last year. And then the next year is going to be better than this year. It's getting better. Can you say amen? And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's on you. But for me, I believe it. And I'm going to tell you, the last 50 years of my life, it's been good. I mean, it's been great. When I was in that hellhole in Vietnam, man, it was awful. I didn't know anything about anything. I was only 20 years of age. They drafted me when I was 19, and by the time I was 20, I was there, and then I went to the worst part of the war. But after that, I got a hold of God, and it's a long story, but, man, I started going up and up. Last 50 years has been awesome. Praise God. And you say, it's going to get better? Oh, yes, I'm 76, but it's going to get better. Praise God. Because God has said that in his word. Can you say amen? Okay, number three. All right? This is very important. God, because we're speaking about miracles of provision this month now. And the whole year is miracles. As a matter of fact, the rest of your life is going to be miracles upon miracles, right? That's it. So number three, God has no needs. Say that with me. God has no needs. Who has the needs? Well, we do. We have the needs. God doesn't have any needs, right? Everything that he has provided for us is for our benefit, not for his. God owns the galaxies. He owns the universe and all the galaxies, billions of galaxies. I mean, it's our mind can't wrap around that. He is so rich and so powerful. He don't have any needs. And then in Acts, the book of Acts 17, this is a very important scripture now, because God has no needs. Verse 24 and 25. And this is in the New Living Translation. He says, he is God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live. He doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands, say that, human hands cannot serve his need. In other words, you're going to say it like this. Look, some people say, I'm going to help God. I'm going to give him $20 to help him. Really? Really? You can't help God. You can't help God. We have the needs. And everything that he has provided for us is for our benefit. Then he said, in human hands can't serve his needs, for he has what? No needs. Somebody say, God has no needs. And he himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every living thing. Now, the next verse, next scripture is very important also. Psalms 145, verse 14 and 16. We're laying a foundation here this morning. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. And now this is powerful. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Now, God is so powerful, he just does this. Look, he can do it. And if you read the Bible, you see the miracles. I mean, God just opens his hand. When he fed the 5,000, which is 5,000 men in Jesus' ministry, and not counting the women, if there's 5,000 men, it must have been 15,000 women, right? It's always more women. And then a lot of children. So it must have been 20, 25,000 people, a multitude. And Jesus just gave, he just simply gave thanks, blessed it, and boom, it multiplied and everybody ate. Can you say amen? He's a God of miracles. So he opens his hand. Somebody say he opens his hand. That's how easy it is for God. He opens his hand. We make it difficult. Right? He said, God, I don't know how you're going to do that. Really? God just opens his hand. And he said, I don't know how you're going to get me out of this problem. It's easy. And I don't know how God's going to heal me. It's easy. Right? If you'll just believe, praise God. But I want to make this clear. If it's so easy that God just opens his hand and satisfies the desires of all living things, why doesn't he meet all the needs of the world then? Huh? Now, I remember by the age of 20, I had already been in, this is the age of 20 now, I was already not only here in the United States, but I was already, had already been to Hawaii, Guam, the Philippines, in Manila. I had gone to Thailand, China, and then Vietnam. Plus, that's at the age of 20. So all the countries that I went to, they're like the countries today. There's rich people and there's poor people. There's a lot of needy people. And usually where the tourists go, you say, I want to go to a beautiful place. I don't want to be in Hobbs. I want to go to a beautiful place. Well, every place is the same. You go to Dallas, you have some beautiful places, and there's slums. And there's all kinds of needy people. You can go any part of the world. It's the same way, right? So if God, it's so easy for him just to open up his hand and satisfy the needs of all the people, then why doesn't he do it? Well, he can't. He cannot. There's things that God cannot do. He wants to, but he cannot. So why doesn't he bless me? Well, he can't violate your will. Everybody understand that? If you say, I'm going to live like this the rest of my life, well, that's the way you're going to live. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's the way you're going to be in that condition for the rest of your life. See, God can't do anything. You don't have enough knowledge to believe God for what he has provided for you. So there's a lot of needy people everywhere. You just go 200 miles from you, cross the border, there's all kinds of needs there, just like there is in the United States. All kinds of homeless people, people in poverty, abject poverty. But God cannot violate their will. He cannot. He cannot. And if he did bless them, they wouldn't know where it came from, right? They'd say, well, man, all of a sudden, you say, we're blessed. Well, most people would say, well, it was this idol. He gave it to us. This God gave it to us. See, they wouldn't give God the glory. Or they'll just say, it's luck. I received it. So a lot of people just give it to luck, right? Or they don't think it was God that did it for. So God, he cannot do it. Even though he wants to, and it breaks his heart for his creation to live like they've been living, God cannot meet their needs, because if he did without them knowing it, it would be they would put it on some superstition or coincidence or luck. Can you say amen? So God's way, somebody say God's way, the only way is what Hebrews 11:6 says. He says, without faith, it is impossible. Say that out loud with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then he says, for he that comes to God. That's what I did. I was all messed up in my mind, man. I mean, I was 21 years of age when I came back. I was messed up in my mind. I'm telling you, I was jacked up. Had to carry weapons all the time in my car. Two or three weapons, you know, just crazy, you know, but I presented myself as having it all together, but I had my messed up mind. But when I came to God, somebody say, come to God. You have to come to God. See, God cannot do anything to you until you come to God. You said, I need a miracle. You better come to God. He's not going to chase you down, and he's not going to coerce you. He's not going to force you, because that would violate your will. You were made in his will. Everybody understand that? So you have to come to God, and then if you come to God, you must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Can you say amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Did everybody get that? Amen. You have to come to God. And if you come to God, he'll do it. Look how easy it is. He opens his hand, and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. He's God. Well, I'm living in a terrible condition. My health is all messed up. My money is in bad shape. My family, everything is messed up. Well, come to God. That's the only way. And when you come to God, God will take care. I have an addiction. Well, you come to God and God will deliver you. Can you say amen? Whatever problem you have, praise God. Now, here we come to this very important question. I have two important questions for you. How does God meet the needs of his people? Because he does it so easily, but how does he do it? Well, people have to come to him, but when they come to him, they come to him for what he's already provided, right? If he hasn't provided it, then you can't come to him for that problem, but he has covered everything in your life. Can you say amen? So Galatians 3:13 is the way God meets the needs of his people. And he says, Christ has redeemed us. Somebody say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Somebody say, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So how does God meet the needs of the people of the world? By redemption. Somebody say redemption. Redemption means this: what Jesus paid for on Calvary, what God paid for you, a very high price, and it was not money, it was the life of his son, and he shed his blood for you, and he redeemed you. He paid a great price for your redemption from the curse of the law. Can you say amen? So that the blessing of Abraham would come upon you. And that package, listen to me now, that redemption package is a complete package. It covers everything. Everything that you'll ever desire in this world, all your needs, they're all in that redemption package. So say this with me, redemption package. Everything's on that redemption package. That's why Paul in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation there is an all-inclusive word, which means soteria, which means it is the power of God to heal you, the power of God to deliver you, the power of God to provide for you, the power of God to save you, the power of God to deliver you. It's the power of God to do everything. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a great praise offering for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we understand that God, there's a lot of need in the world. And God, he can meet, if they'll allow him, meet all the needs that people have of the whole world just like that. And how does he do it? He does it through redemption, through the price and the redemption package that he's provided for you through Jesus. Somebody say through Jesus. That's it. So the next question is this. The redemption package, what does it include? Because if I've been redeemed, is it just going to heaven? That's where a lot of Christians are stuck. They go to church and say, I'm glad I'm going to heaven someday, but I'm living in a hell here. I live in a terrible hell. Unfortunately, a lot of believers, I'm telling you, a lot of believers live in a hell here on earth. And that is sad because everything has been provided for them. We should have heaven on earth. Somebody say heaven on earth. I have heaven on earth. You say, Pastor, you have any worries? I have none, zero, none, no worries. He said, how, you've lived that life? I've lived that kind of life. He said, well, it's because you're a pastor. No, it's not because I'm a pastor, because a lot of pastors are, a lot of them are defeated and have all kinds of problems. They have messed up families. No, it's because of Jesus and because of the word. Can you say amen? So the next question is, what has been provided in redemption? Well, the names, listen to me now, the seven, how many? Seven redemptive names of God reveal what he has provided for you. And here they are. Watch this. Jehovah Jireh. That's his name. That name there reveals what he is to you. He is Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord that provides. And then Jehovah Rapha. And these are in the order of the Bible, all right, of the books of the Bible. Jehovah Rapha, he says, I'm your healer. Not medical science. I mean, that's not the best, but if you have to go, you have to go. But God's best is that he become your healer. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord your healer. Jehovah Nisi, he is the banner, he's the captain, he's the victor over your life, he's your protector. Can you say amen? Jehovah Shalom, he is peace to you. All this is through Jesus. That's four of them. Let's go to five. He is Jehovah Rohi, which means that he is what? What is Jehovah Rapha? Jehovah Rohi for you. There's two names for shepherd that they give, but that is he is the Lord your shepherd. And then Jehovah Tsidkenu, he is what? What is he? He is our righteousness. Can you say amen? And then Jehovah Shammah, he is the Lord present. Can you imagine what God has provided for you? These seven names, say the seven names. Seven redemptive names, the names of God, redemptive names of God, reveal what God has provided for you. He has provided everything you'll ever need in this life. Praise God. And he cannot lie, and he cannot change that, not for you or anybody else. Everybody understand that? He is Jehovah Jireh. Say that with me. He is Jehovah Jireh. Let's go back to those seven names. He is Jehovah Jireh. Say that. He's my provider. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is my healer, my doctor. Praise God. Jehovah Nisi. He is the banner over my life. Praise God. Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. Can you say amen? And peace, shalom, covers more than just the English word peace. It's an all-inclusive word. And then he is Jehovah Rohi. He is the Lord my shepherd, which implies that he'll guide you. Hallelujah. He's a shepherd. He'll take care of you. Can you say amen? He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. And he's Jehovah Shammah. Let's give the Lord a great praise offering for that. He's the Lord that has provided everything. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now, I'll finish with this because I've got 5 minutes, and I wish I had another 30, but we don't. We got the other ministry coming up. Redemption has included us. We are included, or redemption included us in the Abrahamic covenant. All right? Now, if we go back to Galatians 3, and I'll finish with this. If we go back to Galatians 3, 13 and 14, it says this. Listen to me real carefully. Christ has redeemed us. Say that with me. Christ has redeemed us from the what? From the curse of the law. What is the curse? It's threefold. It's this. Listen to me. It is death. It is sickness. And it is poverty. I'm going to ask everybody to take your hats off, please, when you're in the house of God. So three things. That's the curse. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Say that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why did he do that? Verse 14. And we really have to read it in the New Living Translation, which says, so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon you. The blessing of Abraham. But in the New Living Translation, it says this, and this is true. He says, the same blessing. What? The same blessing that Abraham received because God made a covenant with him is now upon your life. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a great praise offering for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Redemption. Listen to me now. Redemption included us. Now, this is important. In the Abrahamic covenant, because Jesus, Paul says it clearly, Galatians 3:14, the same blessing that was upon Abraham is now on us. And the Abrahamic blessing, I'm going to go real quickly, covers every aspect of your life. The spiritual, say the spiritual. It covers the physical, and it covers the material. So when we look and study the life of Abraham, he was spiritually blessed because he was a friend of God. He would talk to God. Number two, was he physically blessed? Oh, yes. At 75, he had an encounter with God, and he went on to live 175 years. Oh, he went on to live another 100 years. So he lived 100 years in health. 100 years. Can you imagine? And then, was he blessed? Oh, yes. It covered the material. So we are included. So how do we know we are included in the same blessing of Abraham? Look at Galatians 3:7. He says, therefore know that those that are in faith are the sons of what? Wow. If you are in faith, in other words, if you believe, if you're in Jesus, you are a son of Abraham. Raise your hand and say, I'm a daughter or a son of Abraham. Come on, say it again. I am a son or a daughter of Abraham because I'm in Jesus. Can you say amen? Okay, Galatians 3:9. So then those that are of faith, watch this, are blessed with believing Abraham. Wow. Praise God. And blessing means this. Look, blessing means this in essence. It is a supernatural declaration by God that will cause you to prosper and to be blessed in every area. Praise God. And whatever could go right will go right when the blessing of God is on you. All right? And then in Galatians 3:28 and 29 says this. There is, it's a supernatural blessing that empowers you to live in prosperity and be blessed all the days of your life. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Somebody say amen. There is neither slave or free, nor free. There is neither male or female. In Christ, there is no such thing as male or female. Some people say women are lower. You need to go to some countries. No, not in Jesus. Not in Jesus. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the what? And heirs according to the promise. Did everybody get this? Redemption includes you in the Abrahamic blessing, the same blessing. And now I'll finish with this. What is the proof that Abraham was blessed? Genesis 13:1, real quickly. Abraham was very rich in what? Livestock. And silver and gold and silver and gold. God mentions that because some people say, no, we're just spiritually blessed. No, God includes everything. He gave Abraham livestock, silver and gold. Some people say, money is bad. Well, money is just neutral. It's not bad or good. It's you, right? It's you. If it's you, if you're good, then the money's good. And then if you're bad, then the money's bad. Then in Genesis 24:1 says, now Abraham was what? He was old and advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? At the end of his life now, 175. He was so blessed that Sarah died at 127. He was 137, and he was looking around and saying, who can I marry next? At 137, he picked up a young woman, and he had six more kids at 137. So was he blessed? That's right, and some people can't even move at 30. Genesis 25, and I'll finish with this. 25, verse 7 through 8. Abraham lived for 175 years, and he died at a ripe old age. Having lived a long and satisfying life, he breathed his last and joined his ancestors in death. And I want to emphasize this, that he died satisfied. A lot of people hate their life. And people, if you go to the tombstone, somebody would have put, I hated my life, I regret my life, it's been a terrible life. Not Abraham. He died a satisfied. He said, I'm satisfied. Thank you, Lord. 175 years, I've been married twice, had all these kids, and I'm the father of many nations. I was rich and beyond my wildest dreams, and I've been blessed for 100 years. Praise God, he died satisfied. That's the way you're going to die. Can you praise the Lord for that? Give the Lord a great praise offering for that in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But look at me, and I'll finish with this. Don't worry about it. The other ministry will wait just for a second, but we'll finish. Listen real carefully. Listen real carefully. What I've just shared with you this morning is not just going to fall on you. It's not automatic. You have to activate. It's a covenant. You have to activate it. And God has made it real simple. In that area of finances, God has no needs. But he's made this, tithe, offerings, and first fruits. If you don't give your tithes, then there's nothing God can do for you in that area. Does everybody understand that? You see, I don't believe in that. Well, it's Old Testament. It's not Old Testament. It's when people say Old Testament, they're talking about the law. No, Abraham was before the law. 400 years before the law. There was no Moses. There was no Bible. There was no Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There was none of that. Abraham gave his tithes. He said, who taught him? Well, the people before him. He was a tither and he was a giver. That's why he was blessed. So whatever God has for you will not fall on you automatically. He said, I'm just hoping that it'll come on me. I'm just hoping. Well, it's not. You got to activate this thing. It's a covenant. You got to take steps and say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to give my tithe, and if you don't, then that's up to you. God doesn't need your money. He has no needs. But we have the needs. And when you don't give your tithes, then you're cheating on yourself, robbing yourself, robbing your family, and you'll live in poverty all the days of your life. And then offerings. Tithes is not your money. That opens the heavens. Your offering is what will multiply, what God will use to multiply it back to your life. So you have to give. I don't care what you give, but you got to give something. This is why in my services I always do this. Take your envelope. Listen to me. Not because God has the needs. We have the needs. I say, God, accept and receive what I'm going to give you because I give it with all my heart. Because if God does not accept it, there's no return for you. God doesn't need your money. He's looking at your heart. He said, well, I'm going to give these 10, but I don't want to give. Keep it. Keep it, man. Keep it. Keep it. God doesn't need it. He's the owner of everything. Can you say amen? That's right. Abraham was a big tither, man. Big giver. That's why he was so blessed. He said, oh, it's just luck. It really is not luck. There's no luck in this world. Praise God. Did everybody get what I shared this morning? Amen. Well, praise God. Look how great students you are. Y'all received it all. Praise God. Well, let's give the Lord a great praise offering. Praise God. Praise God.